You've given us, Lord. We're one day closer, Father, to the consummation of all things. And Lord, as we go along in this life and as we grow as Christians, Lord, the world becomes an abrasive place, becomes a place that's not fun to be, not fun to be in it and have to work in it and different things, Lord. But at the same time, Lord, every day it just confirms what we have in store, Lord, when there'll be that civilization you promised that'll be by faith and not by greed, Lord. It'll be a civilization full of people that the eternal life in them, as you said by the prophet, is living for others. And oh, Father, how the thirst in us begins to grow for that day, Lord. We know we're one day closer, and we pray that you'll be with us tonight. You'll speak to us, and you'll help us to understand the day that we're living in and how great it is, and help us take another step. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So Sunday we talked about the God's power to transform, and we were talking about his power to transform the seed. And I'm going to just start right in there now. But before we do, let's just remember a few things first. We talked about him transforming the seed. We talked about how he transformed the seed a little bit. We also mentioned how Brother Ram said that there was the word seed was there before the real seed ever took place. He also mentioned several times that God had just spoken the word. Just spoke it. And we also looked at how after he speaks it, what that does. And how it transforms. We looked at how Adam and Eve had been given the 10 words to live by, because that's what Brother Ram said, that we live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And so Satan made it his job to stop the word and deform it and pervert it to the person. He can't pervert it himself, can't pervert what God made, what he spoke out, that original seed. He can't pervert that, but he can try to interpret it to God's children. And that's what he did. He tried to interpret it to Eve and slightly change it just a little bit. As we talked about, Brother Ram said, deforming the word. And so we're going to start right off there. And I had a question or so that about how did I know that what he said about he had just spoke the word and it hadn't completely happened yet. How did I know that? So I'm going to read you how I know that. There's quite a few other places, but I'm going to read you one here that's pretty straight. So Brother Ram says, what is the transformation? This is in the same message we were in there at the beginning of the last service. Quickly, how do we get it? What does the transformation. So it's God's power of transformation. He's saying, what does it? God does it by the Spirit of His Word. So this is what I mean. He gave Adam and Eve the Spirit of His Word. And if they would have kept it, it would have brought that seed to life. It would have completely done it. But it wasn't done yet. Remember we mentioned, Brother Bram said that that wasn't his wife yet. Neither was it man yet. And he mentioned other things that went all together. So here he says, in order to transform it, he plants his seed and then he throws his Spirit on it. And it brings forth the product. So when does it bring forth the product? Only after he throws his Spirit on it. See? It has to be that way. God has to interpret His Word. He has to do it. And we're glad that He has to do it. We're glad it's His. I always remember that time when we were younger, when Katrina had a lot on her with the kids and stuff, and she had bounced a check or two at the bank, and probably I had probably contributed to that because we hadn't kept up with the ledger or something. And it was stressing her out. And so I told her, just let me have it. And she didn't want to let me have it because she felt like she'd failed, you know. And I said, no, just let me take the pressure and you don't have the pressure of it. And so once she gave it to me, she was glad she didn't want it back. And I'm not telling y'all what to do. I'm just telling you as an example, that's what happened. And we don't want to be responsible for our salvation. We don't want to be responsible for bringing the word to pass. God is His own interpreter. And so we're glad about that. We'll gladly be the feminine part of God. He plants His seed, throws His Spirit on it, and it brings forth the product. That's when it brings forth the product, when He throws His Spirit on it. And we're going to find out what that Spirit was. And we're going to find out why Brother Branham said in the Church Ages book that they couldn't approach that tree because it had to become flesh first before they could partake of it. Remember, Jesus Christ is our life. We were predestinated in Him. And so this had to take place here before. See, their seed, the seed that He was transforming was the seed of man. That was God's, He spoke all of the seeds out, but there, when He gave that word to Adam and Eve, He was transforming the seed of man. And His Holy Spirit transforms the seed word in to be vindicated of its kind. So, when He's transformed it, then it's vindicated of His kind. So, when He's done throwing His Spirit on it, and it brings the word to pass, then it's going to vindicate exactly what it is. And did Brother Branham ever call Adam the anointed anything? He never called him the first Christ, ever. He just said first Adam, second Adam. What kind of seed you are, and just remember what I said, because Adam was predestinated in Christ. So he was going to have the life of Christ. And that's what was taking place here. That's what God was bringing. When He gave Adam and Eve that word, and He put them on, Brother Bram said, He put them on equal basis with Him. He said, you can choose right or wrong. You can choose it. Not what He told Abraham. I've already done it, Abraham. That was the difference. Now, I've went over that all the time, but I don't want you to miss it. When we go into these things, what kind of seed you are, that shows just what's in you. You can't hide it when that Spirit's thrown on it. Whatever you are inside, it shows outside. You just can't keep from it. You can't make that tree anything but what it is. See, it's going to be that way. The Holy Spirit transformed the seeds that's on the inside of it. No matter what kind of seed is, it'll transform it. If it's evil, it'll bring forth evil. If it's a hypocrite, it'll bring forth a hypocrite. If it's a genuine word of God, it'll bring forth a genuine son or daughter. See, if God put that predestination in them and his spirit strikes it, it's going to bring forth a son or daughter of God through the thinking man's filter. And then the seed comes up. It comes through that. It produces a son and daughter of God. See, when he puts his spirit on it, that's what happens. It produces the son and produces a son and daughter of God. One day when the world lay in the darkness of chaos, God, now listen close, because we're not going to speak just a little bit longer. Look, one day when the world was again in a kind of religions, washing hands, pots, wearing different robes and bonnets and so forth, it lay in the midst of utter chaos. And the genuine Israel of God had been so perverted from the laws and the statutes of God, Jesus said, you with your traditions make the word of God of no effect to the people by your traditions. So not by the spirit of the word that God had given them. They just made it all of no good at all. They twisted it all up. And this is right before Jesus is going to be born. They call him and Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, and his works you do. See, that's exactly what he said. And when the world lay in that kind of a fix, God's spirit moved upon a seed that was predestinated. He translated, what did Brother Bram say? That when Isaiah spoke that word, unto us a son is born. I can't remember how it goes, but you know it's Isaiah. He's mentioning it here. He said it went around and around the world until it fell into a little sister. All right. That's what he's talking about. And he's going to transform it. That was predestinated. He translated. I'm sorry. Let me back up. God's spirit moved upon a seed that was predestinated. He translated and transformed Isaiah 9:6 of its promise. So even though that word had been spoken, it was nothing until God brought it to pass. See, it was waiting for God to bring it to pass. He, God, was made in human flesh to save that chaos time. Remember last time we mentioned, Brother Bram said the real story was how he come and became sin for us. Here comes God by a prophet foreseeing it. So here come God. He laid it out. He let this prophet say this. He let this prophet say this. And this one say this. And I sent that thing out the other day about the 40 something things that were fulfilled right there. And a lot of those were out of Psalms that happened right at the end of his life. But all those things. And see, now God is putting his spirit on it and bringing them to pass. Now remember the word. And that ought to really strike us. Because if he was giving those words out to the prophet and kept on and on and on and on until it was time for her to give birth to this son, the words of a prophet ought to mean so much to us because that's what God's going to throw the spirit on, the word of the prophet. And when Brother Bram said, when you see a prophet come on the scene, God is fixing to speak. And boy, did we see it. Here comes God by the prophet foreseeing it. Now remember the word, the prophet foresaw it. Just the same prophet that seen Satan in this last days of his educational program and things he was religious program. The same prophet Isaiah 9:6 said, unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called the Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And of his reign there will be no end. And the word is God's word. And that word is God's word. And the Spirit moved upon that word. And it formed in the womb of a virgin, a man. Moved upon all those words that the prophet had spoken. And it created our Savior in the womb of the man. And the Spirit moved upon that word, and it formed in the womb of a virgin a man. A son is born. Not created, born. See, catch that now. The son was created. I mean, not created, born. Born of the Spirit when it come on the word. All right, now the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. Notice now how he makes his way known by his prophets in the beginning. And he's never changed it. You know, I mean, and we know that this was the last prophet, that the message was given and it's done. There is nothing past that. He's going to bring this prophet's word to pass. And that will be the consummation of all things. In the beginning, see, he notice how he makes his way known by his prophets in the beginning. He has never changed it. He justified a man, sanctified a man, sent the Holy Ghost in fire, and burnt the sin out of him and dwelt in him himself. He wasn't dwelling in him before. He went and burnt the sin out of him and dwelt in him himself. He come to the predestination. Brother Mam has told us so many times that the female doesn't have life, that the male gives her life. He said always the life comes from the male. And we're talking about the feminine and the masculine of God. And he does the earth that he's going to use in a plan of redemption the same way. It repented and was baptized by Noah. And Jesus come and sanctified it by dripping his blood upon it and claimed it. And in the new earth that's to come, it's to have a holy fire baptism to clean it of every devil, every germ, every sickness, everything that is there is, and make it anew. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and you become a new person. Amen. Not just an old one patched up. You become a new person. By joining church or trying to turn a new page. Not what you become, he's saying. Not just an old one patched up by joining church or trying to turn a page. But you are a complete, brand new unit. Now, he ain't talking about our flesh and he ain't talking about our spirit. He made it real clear what happened. God takes the old man and burns him out completely. So that first soul was a creation and he destroys it. And he comes himself, sends down your representation. No man can come to me except my Father has drawn him. And all the Father has given me will come to me. You see it. Same plan, same way. Satan was, well, be taken from the earth. So Satan will be taken from the earth just exactly like Satan was taken from you. He'll be taken from you exactly like he's taken from the earth. So how is he in the earth? Well, think about it. That's another service. We're not going to talk about that tonight, but you could be thinking about it because he said it's exactly the same way. Satan cannot bother or cannot tempt, or he can tempt, but he cannot get a born-again Christian. Can't do it. For God, from the foundation of the world, foresaw him and sent Jesus to redeem him. And the blood speaks for him. See, every time he says him, put yourself right there. Sent Jesus to redeem you. And his blood speaks for you. He foresaw you. How can you sin? I'm going to go ahead and just follow it on out there. How can you sin when it can't be seen even by God? He don't even. The only thing he hears is your voice. He sees your representation. Amen. That's true. See? But, well, not but. by the same means, for the world is one of his attributes, just the same as you are one of his attributes. Now that ain't Chris talking. That's God talking. God said that I was an attribute. He said the earth is an attribute just like me. Okay, so that's not up to me to decide that it isn't the same when he said it was the same. The word becomes one of his attributes. The world becomes one of these attributes because it was God's thinking. God thought the earth. He thought your bodies in the earth. He thought all these things. The world becomes one of his attributes because it was God's thinking in the beginning. To have a world, to be on a throne, see, these are his thoughts. To have a world, to be on a throne, to be a king, to be a redeemer, to be a healer. That's his attributes. You see that? Just like an attribute of you. I can't say a post unless I think a post. See, he's making it so clear here. I can't say a post unless I think a post. The thought has to come first. I can't say man unless I think a man. And when I think of a man and then say man, the thinking is my attribute and the expression is the word. You see? Like Isaiah, how could he say that a virgin was going to conceive? What is a thought? So he's asking you, when Brother Branham just told us a while ago that when he spoke through those prophets, that was God putting his word out there. Putting his word out there. And then he was going to put the Spirit on it, bring it to pass. So then he's asking you, how could Isaiah say this? How could it just come to him to say it? A virgin was going to conceive. What is a thought? How many of you wonder how that discernment comes? I'm going to tell you, see, it's a word that I say, and it isn't my thinking, because I don't know. I don't know of the thinking of it. It's God's thinking, see, and he's speaking what God gives him to speak. I don't know of the thinking of it. How can I tell you who you are, or where you come from, or when I don't know you? And how could Isaiah say a virgin's going to conceive when he don't know how that's going to happen? How did he even conceive the idea? God put it in his mind. God, writing his own Bible, every step of the way, brother and sister, all he wanted was a man to give him his life. How can I tell you what you've done 10 years ago when I never seen you in my life? He's telling you, I can't do that. That was God knew that and told me. How can I tell you where you'll do and what you'll do 10 years from now? How do I know the future? But it's somebody else's thought. Now you think about how that, and people want to chop the prophet's message up and give their idea to it all day long. When Brother Branham's saying right here that when the prophet come on the scene, God is fixing to speak. He's even telling you so much that it's not even his thought. That God puts the thought in his mind and he just says it. Amen. And people, they want to make him a little lower than the scripture or something like that, when he's the fulfillment of the scripture. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. See? Then it isn't your thinking. It's his thinking through you. And you're not expressing your words. You're expressing his words. Amen. I tell you what. You can just set some time and think about these words. Just let the Lord pour it into your heart. It isn't your thinking. It's his thinking through you. How did Brother Branham say in this last day that the bride will have, thus saith the Lord, or she'll be quiet? That's absolute. There's no, most of the times you'll have, thus saith the Lord, and most of the times you'll be quiet. No, and that was God's thinking. When he said that we will have, thus saith the Lord, or we will be quiet, Because he's going to make it come to pass. All he wants you to do is to say, Lord, be it unto me, like Mary did. Mary said, Lord, be it unto me. That's all we have to do to this message. That's because, and you'll do it because Brother Branham said, you're the bedding ground. Amen. That's what he called us. He called it the bedding ground. He called it the predestination. He called it several different things. It's his thinking through you, and you're not expressing your own words. You're expressing his words. And brother and sister, that is a promise to you. If we'll take that to our hearts, that's what God said to us, and we'll live by that. We don't have to worry about nothing. We don't have to, oh, should I speak? Should I not speak? Remember Brother Bram said about the ones that went into the upper room, and they were like, 2 days went by, 3 days went by, and one of them said, I think I felt a funny feeling go up my back. And they said, no, that's not it. He said, wait till you're endued with power from on high. And here he says, you'll have thus saith the Lord, or you'll be quiet. It's a promise, and we need to take it as a promise. Watch the, and this is in the message leadership. Watch the birds, watch the animals, watch everything, and you watch nature. Watch the little dove, how he flies. What a different bird he is, see? He doesn't have any gall. He can't eat like the crow can, see? He has no gall in him. He doesn't have to take a bath in the water because he's got something on the inside of him. It cleans him from the inside out. And he's talking about that nature, that dove. And the nature types the Holy Spirit. That's the way this Christian is. That's the way God represented himself in a dove. See? Because, and Jesus was represented as a lamb. Always in nature, you'll find God. And God likened us unto sheep that has to be led. You see that? You know, you got the predestination in you. Brother Bram said that seed has the power to bring whatever, you know, to transform itself. But what does it need? It needs God's life. Did you ever notice there? I preached. Remember, why does he go to that quote? Every time he talks about that, he goes straight to that quote or the scripture where Brother Bram said that, well, the scripture says, Jesus said, no man can come to me unless my Father draws him. What was drawing him? What was drawing that man to God? Remember, read that. You've probably read that message. The deep calls to the deep. And there's more that are like that. But it was God, the Spirit word, calling to that predestination. Did you ever notice there? I preached a sermon on it some time ago. That the dove coming down on the lamb to lead the lamb, and it led him to the slaughter. He's talking about there in the river when the dove come down upon Jesus. Now, if the lamb, that dove could not have descended upon any other type of animal because they both had to be of the same nature, see? One was the feminine and one was the masculine. Well, now Jesus was not masculine, but I mean, he was not feminine. Because they both had to be of the same nature, see? If the dove would have lit upon a wolf, he would have snorted or growled. The dove would have took its flight. Well, that's the same way now. And our ill ways, the Holy Spirit just takes his flight and goes away. Now, remember how many of y'all remember that testimony that Dawson Riley gave about he was standing there talking about the dove? He was telling his daddy about how the Brother Branham had explained the dove, how the dove was like a Holy Spirit, and when it would come down, and if you acted up, it would fly up in the tree. And then after you got yourself, you know, down where you're supposed to be, it would come back. Remember that story? And then why he was telling his daddy a dove come and done what he was telling. Our ill ways, the Holy Spirit just takes his flight and goes away. It's got to have the same nature. See, he's talking about, you know, I'm not going to get into that. I was going to talk about the church ages and being out of the church ages. It's got to have the same nature. The bird of the heavens, the dove, the meekest animal on earth, and the lamb, they can agree together. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and makes us new creatures, then he can lead us. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us and it makes us new creatures, then he can lead us. Then we got the right nature, see. But we try to live the same old life. It won't work. It just won't work. Amen. So now let's go back over into God's only provided place of worship. You're sealed in there. You're beneath the blood. You don't go out no more. And then what are you? God's son in God's family, sealed in by the Holy Spirit. The devil couldn't get you if he had to, for you're dead. Your old husband part is dead, and you are buried, and your life is hid in God through Christ and sealed by the Holy Ghost. How's he going to get you? How are you going to get out? You're there, glory. I'll leave that alone just enough so you know what I'm talking about. Then a new creation, not a denomination, not to a denomination, but to the Word. You're a creation of the Word because the foundation stone was laid in you before the foundation of the world. Predestinated to be sons and daughters of God. And Brother Bram talks about how, he's going to talk about how that as the word began to unfold, it added to that foundation stone. And upon this comes stone upon stone in each age to vindicate that word that's coming up. Just exactly as Jesus did in his age, which is the capstone of it all. In him laid every age. In Jesus was Moses. In Jesus was David. In Jesus was the prophets. Is that right? Look at Joseph, sold for almost 30 pieces of silver, thrown in, supposed to be dead, and taken out, and went and come to the right hand of Pharaoh. Look exactly. Joseph was in Jesus. And when he come, he was the fullness of the kings. Jesus was. He never said this about Adam, ever. Not even close. What he said about Adam was he put him behind the word and he didn't stay behind the word. He never called Adam that finished word like he called Jesus. He was the fullness of the kings and the prophets. I keep on that because if we don't see that, then it makes the birth and what's happening now less significant. Okay? It makes it so much, it just grays and fogs up what's happening now if you don't see what Adam and Eve was there. And remember, he put Adam and Eve over. Not just Adam. He put Adam and Eve over everything. And they fail. And when he come, he was the fullness of the kings, prophets, hallelujah, the Godhead bodily rested in him. He came to redeem out of there a bride, a masterpiece that says to Satan that when he says days of miracles is past, there's no such a thing as these things you're talking about. So he come to bring a masterpiece out of the masterpiece. The bride is coming out of Christ. And why is she a masterpiece? Look what he's saying. Because whenever he tries to tell her something and deform the word, she tells him to get away from her. Get behind me, Satan. See, a masterpiece standing and guarding. See what he said? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then he can lead you. And what was he trying? What did he do with Adam and Eve? With Eve, he perverted the word to her. And then Adam went with her. So if they took the perverted word, could they be transformed? No, that's what it meant. They crossed the breach. They'd separated themselves from God because they turned his word down and they become perverted. Now something was going to have to come and die to pay for their sins so that God could bring the predestination. Let's find out what the Bible says now. We find in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the Bible said, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. We're baptized into the body of Christ by one Holy Spirit. We're not shook in. We're not joined in. We're not baptized in with water in. We are baptized with the Holy Ghost into the body of Jesus Christ. That's where we're predestinated. That's where our seed is. He is the royal seed. We're part of him. How long does it last when you get in there? Until you misbehave yourself? Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. Argue with him, not me. That's what it says. I'm reading it. I love it when he says that, because I love it when I'm able to just read it and just leave it there. You're sealed until the day of your redemption, until the day that Jesus comes for you. And isn't that this day? That's the day of redemption we're living in. Then think of it. You're not yourself. When you're in him, you're not yourself anymore. You're not yourself. You are a new creature. For the Greek there means a new creation. You've been recreated again. So the first one was a creation. Remember we talked about that either the last service or the one before, where we showed how that Brother Ram said, you can't, he said that sin come along and perverted his way for bringing children. And you came anyway, lost with the world. And that's what he's talking about. See, all life comes from God. Even Satan's life came from God. And then Satan perverted himself. There's nothing outside of God. A new creation. You've been recreated again. The power of God comes upon you and you become created a new creature, which brings the whole physical being. So it's not the spiritual being. It's not the physical being that's the new creature. It's the soul. And you become created a new creature, which brings the whole physical being, spiritual being, and everything is subject to the word of God. Not no other way. Remember when the Spirit comes upon you, then he can lead you. How can you say that you're a Christian and disobey this word in one thing? You can't. Whosoever disobeyed the law in one part of it was guilty of it all. Remember what he said a while ago? You don't think your thoughts no more. It's not you anymore. It's his thoughts. See, now we're growing into this. This is what he wants us to take and live by this. Expect him to bring these things to pass, because this is what he said for this day. These are our promises. Brother Ram said, whatever is promised that he will do in this day, she will do it, because she's part of him. It was guilty of all of it. Whosoever, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. So nobody was going to live by anything outside of all of the word of God. None of it. They had to have it all to live. Why do we, you know, I mentioned last time that after the church age is when that true birth comes. Brother Bram said they were begotten during the church ages, and then they were born now. He made so many different references to that. We read that out of Future Home this last time about how that you pass out of times and keeping of this and that. You passed into eternity. That's because it's the fullness of the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not just part of the words, every word that he said in Revelation chapter 20, in 22nd chapter, whosoever shall take one word out of this book or add one to it, his part will be taken out of the book of life. We're not to take away from the Bible or add to it. Just say what it says. Don't try to interpret it like Satan done. Oh, and that's been his main thing all down through time, is to get people to misinterpret it just a little bit. In every age, in Luther's age, he tried to get them to somehow or another believe they needed to hang on to the Catholic Church, that this was radical, you know, anything he could tell them so that they wouldn't believe what God was bringing. And he does it in every age. It's the same thing. In the 1 Corinthians 12, he said, by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now, after you're in this body, Romans 8, 1 said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, what's going to happen? That walk not after the flesh. You don't walk after the flesh no more. Whatever whim the flesh has, or this, that Brother Branham said, the spirit even, the reasoning, because that's how he got Eve, reasoning. You don't follow it. You don't go after it at all. Because Brother Branham said, when he's come in you, that it brings all that other under subjection. But after the spirit, see, that's when we take those words and we don't let Satan deform them to us or make them lesser or treat them lesser. When we take them like they are, they're God, you're eating of God, then he'll bring that to pass. That's what he wants to do. Brother Ram said he wants to find a man that'll give himself to him, surrender himself to him. That's what you're predestinated for. That's what that little woman at the well was, and all the others in the Bible that came to him. You walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. There's the place where there's no condemnation. Whether you go to the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian church, wherever it is, you're in Christ, you are a new creature. And there's no condemnation in you, nowhere at all. That's God's meeting place. Where? God's meeting place is in you. When he cleaned it out and he's anointed it with his spirit and brought it, Brother Ram said he quickened it to life. That's him dwelling in you now. That's God's meeting place. That's where God meets the worshiper. Under that word. See how important it is. There is where you're accounted a new creature. For they're dead to the things of the world. They're alive in him. See, they're thinking his thoughts. They're not thinking the devil's thoughts anymore. The living presence of God is with them day by day. Just think about it. The living presence of God is with them day by day. Brother Ram said he never takes his eyes off of his children. Brother Ram, I was listening the other day, he was talking about the Hebrew children when they went down there. And he said it looked like God hadn't even noticed. He said he let all that go on. And he said it looked like God hadn't even seen it at all. He said he let them go all the way down and step off into it and still look like that he hadn't even noticed them. But said he noticed it and seen it, every last bit of it. Every last bit of it. And what was it they done? They tied themselves to that word. That was everything to them. And they was going to go down with it if that's what it meant. And God come on the scene. You tie yourself to his. That's why I've talked about so many times. People talk about don't put all your eggs in one basket. You better put all your eggs in this basket. Because this is the eternal basket. This is one that won't fail. This is the one you ain't going to trip with or fall with. He lives in them through every age. And every age that's come along down through the Bible, when man meets God's requirement, comes into the place where he provided in his written word for that day. This is what I just told you. Don't miss it. In every age, when man meets God's requirement, comma, and he's going to tell you what that is, comes into the place where he provided in his written word for that day, comes under that word, God makes that person a new creature, and he has no condemnation. Look at Job. But look, Job, regardless of how many people tried to condemn him, how many said he was wrong, he was keeping the commandment of God by the burnt offering. He knowed he was justified because he was keeping the commandments of God. That's how, you know, you ever get down sometime, you think about Job. His three best friends were there telling him how he's a secret sinner and he ought to get it fixed or whatever it is. He's done something. He needs to do something to get it straight. His wife was telling him to curse God and die because he was suffering so bad. His children was taken. And Brother Bram said he burned a sacrifice for his children before all that happened. He was doing everything God told him to do. And nobody's opinion and nobody's ideas and thought about it was going to change him. He was going to do it. And that's what Brother Bram said. When a man walks along with God, it's to the world, he's odd and he's crazy. And there shouldn't be just one person like that. Every child of God should be that way. You're walking along with God. I've said it before. If you was the only person that believed this, would you still believe it? Is it that real, or do you? Or do you believe it because this one believes it or because that one believes it? Because that won't hold. The only thing holds is when he is in your heart and you believe it because he showed you it was the truth. That's the only thing will hold. And it'll hold through anything, brother and sister. It's held through the ages, through every kind of way they could murder them back there. It's held through, Brother Bram said, in this age, it's not the killing that's so great. It's the deception. He said, in this age is the most deceiving and slick age of all time. But he also said, in this age, that we're going to have a greater faith than any time ever. So it doesn't. You walk alone with him. I don't mean you don't learn from one another. It doesn't mean the preacher can't tell you something that you need to know. It just means you walk alone with God. He is talking with you. You're communing with him. You believe it because he put it in your heart. You don't believe it because Brother Chris said it, or Brother Goomba, or Brother Don, or anybody else. You believe it because God put it in your heart. That's the only thing we'll hold. Daniel was all by himself. Had been that way for years. And then they made that decree that they was going to kill him if they prayed. Did it stop Daniel? Not one day did it stop Daniel. Because Daniel was attached to his God. He wasn't attached to nothing else. Wasn't attached to this life or anything else. That, brother, sister, we need that. We need that. And Brother Bram said to pray for revelation more than anything else. Because that's what I'm talking about. That is revelation. Brother Bram said that when you've given your life to him and his spirit comes in and you become that new creature, now he can lead you. Now. That's why in this age, she can't be deceived. This is the only age that's was prophesied for, was this age. It was this age that she was prophesied to have, thus saith the Lord, or she'll be quiet. We've been given, thus saith the Lord. That's how he was justified, because he was doing the things that God wanted him to do. The living presence of God lights up the day, every day, with death of creeds, and to life and to the word of the day. Now God has things that he does. As a little flower, like I said the other morning at the breakfast, when a seed comes to light, he starts growing. It drinks from God's fountain. Remember we said, that's when he starts to lead you. When he comes to light, he starts to grow. He drinks from God's fountain. Keeps pushing up till he gets to the bud part. Gets up into the flower, up into the blossom. And we find out that when we start with Christ, we grow the same way. Because we grow in grace and admonition of God. And God's only provided plan for any age is his word. His son came and manifested every promise that was promised for his age. And all the prophets came just exactly on time. They was God's word living on earth. They was the word. And Jesus said they were gods. Jesus called those prophets gods. Because they were the word. Because they would do what the word said. A man met me in last meeting I had, and he said, "You're a poor theologian." And I said, "I don't claim to be one." I said, "The word don't come to a theologian. Theology does." He told him straight, didn't he? The word comes, see. I said, just theology comes to the theologian. But I said, we're talking about something else. We're talking about something that's real. Now we find that in each age, when God said a certain thing about a certain thing would happen, here come that man along and manifested that. Here come their people along and lived that. What the prophet manifested, we're going to live. We are, we should be. That was God living himself, living in the people, because it was an answering of his word. God's only provided way and only provided plan today is his son. Through his word for this age, quickened by the spirit of his life, quickened. And that's where we're standing tonight, brother and sister. We've been quickened by the word, not by some of it, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Brother Ram said, that the prophet is the mouthpiece of God. And yet they want to tear down things he says and twist it. And because they're listening to the deformer, they want to make it less than. And of all the things we should learn from this message, that they should leave it alone. But they won't leave it alone. I've heard preachers preach marriage and divorce and get down to where Brother Bram talks about Matthew 5. And they'll jump over to another chapter where it seems to say something a little bit different. And I've heard them take the contrary, like in Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, they say similar things. And you can almost go see where each one of them says this or that. Well, what he said in Matthew 5, he also says in Matthew, in Mark, and he says it in Luke. And you can go look those up. And one of them says it's slightly different, unless you go get the diglot and it's the same. And they'll go get that other part of the scripture. And instead of taking what the prophet told them was the truth, they'll go get this other one. And what I'm talking about is where it says it causes her to commit adultery, not him. They won't take that. They'll go get something else where it says causes them or something. I forgot how it goes in Mark. We can look that up. I'll look it up and read it the next time. But they mix it up. They'll go take that instead of taking what the prophet said and still say they believe the prophet. You see that deformer. I don't care how many times they've preached this message and it was that great a message and it was this and that, and they're deforming the word. It ain't no good to anybody when they do that, because that's what Satan's done. And that deformed word ain't going to do nothing to a child of God. That's what that's what Brother Holmes was so hard on for so many years, that there isn't two revelations. There isn't two ways to believe God. That's what Satan wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that you can have your idea and I can have my idea and we're still okay. I guarantee you, I've done it before. You can go to one of these big conventions and go talk to this one and go talk to that one and go talk to that one about the same thing and get three different versions of the same thing. And all of them there talking about knowing God. And we can be the same thing. Us individuals can be the same thing. And if we have to have God, we have to be dependent on Him. And we can depend on Him. He is. He's promised it. And it's real. And it gets easier. It gets easier to know what He wants as you go along. Because you see how Satan twists things and turns things. You know, you heard the saying that the little foxes spoil the vine. Brother Holmes used to use that example all the time. If Satan wants to get a man into the red light district, he don't start in the red light district. He starts way over here and works it over there. See, that's little foxes end up spoiling the vine. And you realize Satan's tactics. You see what he does. He starts little. And if he gets you to do this, then he'll get you over here. Then he'll get you over there. But if you're God's son, it'll be like Brother Branham said. You'll come to that place where when he comes up and he speaks to the flesh gets all riled up. And then he speaks to the spirit and the spirit starts reasoning and said, yeah, that sounds like that's the truth. If you want to hear this, you can look in Knoweth It Not. It's there. But he said, and then something else down in there says, no, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. See, it overrides all that. And if we don't have that, we're just wandering all over the place. And if we have that, we can't be deceived. We cannot be deceived. And we have thus saith the Lord, or we're quiet about it. And I appreciate so much the message. He's laid it all these things out. But more than anything, that He shows us. He gives it to us. He puts it in our hearts. He makes it living. And there's nothing greater than that. You know, Brother Branham talked about he's closer than a brother. He's the best friend you can have. You know, there's so many times I'll be sitting there sometimes and I'll start to get nervous about something or anxious about something. You think a grown man get that way? Yeah, he gets that way sometimes. And I'll just stop, turn my head and put it down, and start talking to him. And he's right there. In a little bit, it'll go away. God will keep us. He'll keep you all the time. Anytime you need him, reach out to him. And it doesn't matter if you don't see this happen right there or that happen right then. Remember those Hebrew children? They walked right down to dropping off in there before God ever showed his hand, Brother Branham said. So just depend on him. I know I've said that 20 times now, but that's everything. Depend on him. All right, let's stand. I'm going to pray, and then we can sing a song. Father, I thank you, Lord, you've helped me. I was nervous, Lord, and have been nervous on and off, Lord. You know, I've been turning to you all day. And Satan's been pushing and pushing me. And Lord, I'm so glad I can come to you anytime. So glad I can rely on you no matter what Satan tries to do. No matter what he tries to pull. Lord, we're in you and in your word, and we're prisoners, Lord, and there's no way Satan can get to us. And so we're so thankful for that, Lord. We're thankful for each one that's here tonight. I pray you'll help us each to understand and understand one another too, Lord. And Lord, that every motive and objective would be about Christ and not about anything else, just Christ. And Lord, that has to come from you. May we surrender to every word, Lord, and walk by it, Lord, as you would give us light. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. His eyes on the spur ain't in here, is it? Let's see. I'm sorry, y'all bear with me. I have to look at the song a minute to see if I've sung it before. What's that song that when Antipas come, he taught it to us? It sounds like when the roll is called, but it's if my robe is white when he calls. I can't remember how that goes. So you got the words for that one? I'll be somewhere. Is that it?
152.
Somewhere.
be somewhere. Listening, I'll be somewhere. Listening, I'll be somewhere. Listening for my name.
Amen. So remember, Gabe, and remember, Brother Don. Looks like Brother Don's preaching a couple times a week now, at least, maybe more. And so remember them in service, and just remember Sister Esther, too. She's not here with us tonight. I think it's just late and hard on her to come out at night. So we are glad she can listen in. So we just keep each one in prayer, and we're just.